And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of our continent's eminent voiceover artists, Chilulemba, the voiceover plug.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Voiceover Plug with me, Chilulemba. Now Mutale Mwanza, who is our guest today on The Voiceover Plug, is somebody who I've known for many years. My first memory of Mutale is of her attending the Lusaka Radio Summit, which is a conference that we started hosting back in 2009 in Zambia. I recall a keen learner, somebody who was paying attention to all the talks being conducted that day, starry-eyed and curious about the industry, but I frankly didn't have an idea of how big she would one day become. Around 2015 or so, we belonged to the same voiceover agency in South Africa. But fast forward to 2003 when we had this conversation for the Voiceover Plug, where her reach and impact has stretched so far and wide. On Facebook alone, her following is at over 1 million people. She might not be doing as much voiceover today, as I found out in the chat, but it was a pleasure to catch up with Mutale on the Voiceover Plug and explore the voiceover aspect of her media empire. Now, take note that each time you hear us make reference to people watching, it's because she had a camera crew in studio. In case you haven't heard, she has her own reality show that's coming soon to DSTV, and the crew was filming for that. There are few people in our industry, particularly from Zambia, who are using both their names. It's yes. Like Mutale Mwanza. Can't just say Mutale.
No, you can't.
I'm sure now you have people saying Miss Mwanza, you know.
Yes.
And similarly with me, you know, people will still use the first and last name. I was with Chilulemba.
Yes.
As opposed to us to Chilu. Although of late, some people are saying Man Chilu, you know.
Which is another
minefield, but, you know, the conversation for another day. But Mutale, it's a pleasure, it's an honor to have you on the Voiceover Plug.
Thank you for having me.
The last time we linked up, it was roles reversed. You were interviewing me for your radio show.
Yes.
And I still have that tape and I watch it. And since then, so many things have happened in your life.
Yeah.
In this instance, we're going to obviously focus on voiceover because of the podcast, The Voiceover Plug.
Yeah.
And you're in Johannesburg right now. First thing I want to check with you is, when you were here previously, you had an agent. And mm-hmm. So a lot of your life in terms of the voiceover business was being sorted out for you, you know, like most people who are signed to agencies where yeah. they just kind of let you know where you need to be. They invoice, they chase up bad debtors, yes. et cetera, ooh. You know.
They do almost everything for you.
But now I'm assuming, are in a situation where obviously you're doing a lot of things, but when it comes to the voiceover function in Zambia, I'm assuming you don't have an agent, but you've created a team and a system that, yeah. that's helping you manage that. So maybe you could just tell me what you feel differences are and maybe, you know, I'm right now guessing that you have a team. You can explain to me what the current situation is.
Okay, so goodness, first of all, you know, being on radio obviously was amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that sometimes you have a talent and you don't really know what to do with it based off the location or environment you're in is another thing. So I never really knew that I could make money off my voice yeah. or even my talent, because you know how Zambia is.
Yeah, yeah.
Zambia is quite limited in how do I say, education when it comes to your talents.
Yeah, the creative arts.
When it comes
arts,
to the know. Creative arts, yeah, yes. We don't have a school of arts. Mm. I hope I can build one in the next 3 years.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So having come from a radio background and then obviously had the few times I came here mm. before I moved permanently, I had the privilege of obviously watching you work. You were always kind enough to allow me in your space. Like that one time I tagged along with you.
Yeah, and
I
was just studios.
Yes. I was just this little eager beaver just wanting to learn.
No, but you took it all in, yeah.
Yes. And when I finally moved, yes, I did have an agent, and that was really nice because, like you said, the luxury of them first of all finding you work. Mm. Right? It's like, okay, I don't have to send 1,000 emails.
Exactly.
You know, I have yeah. somebody for that. I don't have to, you know, chase for payments. I have somebody mm. for that. Mm. I don't have to, you know, do an A, B, C, and D because we have people for that. It was really nice. Moving back to Zambia is a whole different ballgame.
Mm.
It's different because first of all, you don't even have as many agencies that are heavily invested
yeah.
in talent. So the few that are trying to do a lot of things. They're also trying to make money as a business. So you're not exactly a priority like here where, you know, companies just focus mainly on talent and say, let's sell the talent and make our money off the talent. Mm. It's sort of different back home. So I could feel the difference when I moved back to Zambia in 2015.
Yeah.
In that I had to start all over again. I didn't have the luxury of having an agent. I had to start sending emails. I had to learn how to type emails and beg for
you
work.
You sound like such a chore.
Sell myself. I'm like, oh my God.
My mails.
I have to tell people who I am all over again. What I've done, where I've been.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh man. So I had to start from scratch. Thank God. You know, doors have opened up since. I mean, it's 2023. So yeah. From, I think, 2 or 3 years ago is when I solidly said I'm going to have a team.
Okay.
I'm going to have a team that's going to help me with everything, with my makeup, with my hair, with my clothes, with my brand.
Okay.
And then I will just man the team. I've never had a manager since I started my career.
But I've had
assistants, yeah, but I've never had a manager. I tried to have a manager last year for 2 months and I fired him. And ever since then, I've never had a manager. It's taken me back to the reason why I've never had a manager. But I love having assistants because it's nice to tell people what to do and then they also bring in their
their
input.
I was going to say because you've got a very strong personality, and so, you know, I imagine that the once in a while be differences, or, you know, if you have a manager who sees things in a very different way from the way you see things.
Yeah, but then, also when they see the money, they become greedy. You know what it's like, right? Okay, Chulu, say for instance, look, I look at you as a legend and I love your work. I look at you and you have a very nice life. Obviously, I mean, look at your skin, look at your jeans, look at your specs.
It has its moments.
You even have hair. Look at your beard. You even have those gray what's, you know, those rich people gray beards, what's. So I'm assuming, okay, so you're making money, but I don't know how much you're making exactly.
Yeah,
when I start going through your invoices, I'll be like,
oh damn, so that's the conundrum with managers.
I'm like, what did he make? Did he just make a million rands off that ad or off that deal? So I start seeing myself in there, you know, because it's like
exactly,
the realization.
Exactly.
So But
so this brings me to an interesting point because, you know, in voiceover, the guys like me who say, for example, in the South African market, my voice is in so many spaces, but I'm more in the public ear than the public eye.
Yes.
You know, whereas somebody, say, with your profile, somebody such as maybe another example, somebody like DJ Fresh and so on, you've got both worlds going. You've got the public ear and the public eye persona going on. So this gets me to think, if you're doing a voiceover and because your voice is so known and attached to you and your brand, two things could happen.
Yeah.
It's either you get people paying more because now your voiceover is not just a voiceover, it's also an endorsement.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So the power and the muscle of your brand goes along with the voiceover that you're giving.
Yes.
Or it could be that people, you know, might look at your personality and say, your personality is so strong that I'm not sure whether my brand will shine if it's being voiced by Mutale, because her, you know, the Mutale-ness is huge.
Yes.
And that might, you know, conflict with what I'm trying to put across.
Yeah.
Does that ever cross your mind? Is that, you know, something that, you know, is going on? Or I'll give you another example that maybe while you're in it.
Yeah.
Will Smith did a movie called, I think it was The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Uh-huh.
Remember? And he was, and he, his dream at that time was to work with Spielberg.
Uh-huh.
And he says that at some point Spielberg, I think he approached him and said, but why don't you cast me in movies? And then he says, because you're Will Smith, there'd be too much Will Smithness, you know, on the project.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if you just try to tell us, you know, a story, you know. So I'm just kind of throwing it at you out of curiosity.
Yes. I think that does happen, but with voiceovers, not so much. But I think with gigs.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So I'll give an example. I would never MC like a wedding.
Yeah.
I could, you know, or even like make an appearance.
Yeah.
I think I got paid to do that once and I felt so bad for the bride. it was her wedding.
But okay, I see. Because now the spotlight is like...
There's now too much Mutale Mwanzanis. So don't invite me to your wedding. Yeah, I don't want to be at your kitchen party. Yeah. I don't want to make an appearance at Chuchilanga Mulilo. Leave me alone. I don't care how much you're offering me. I don't want you to be miserable for the rest of your life.
Okay.
I think that happens a lot when it comes to gigs. With voiceovers, not so much.
Yeah. So there's still an anonymity. I suppose also because your delivery is about the business. So it's about the brand. It's about the product. It's very focused.
Yes.
Where there are some people, you know, because I'm now stepping back with my example. There's some people who are in the public eye and the public ear, but their voices are very distinct. When you hear this, I mean, you know, for the purpose of example, I'll use a guy who I look up to and he's like a great guy, DJ Fresh.
Okay.
When you hear DJ Fresh on an ad, regardless of what it is, you're hearing DJ Fresh.
Yes.
Before you hear the product.
Yes. You know, so it's not like it's a voice artist. You're listening to you're listening to the brand.
And so in his case, I'm always thinking like, so if DJ Fresh voices something, does his price then go up because of the fact that it's DJ Fresh? It's also partly an endorsement. You know what I mean? So that's where I was coming from.
Yeah.
But I suppose with you, the difference, like I say, is that your ad, if it's within your radio broadcast and then it comes in there, it's not like somebody will, because your voice is about, you know, the product. Yeah.
So you see, I'll give an example of somebody who I think I listen to her voice ads a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I will mirror it with my life.
Okay.
If I were to do a voiceover, for instance, like lately what I do, if I have to do a voiceover for a certain brand, especially if it's very competitive and there's like a lot of players on the market, right? It's like in a very competitive space.
Yeah.
It has to be an endorsement.
Okay.
So I'll give you an example of Bonang. She's the brand ambassador for Nivea, I think.
Yeah.
So she's done a Nivea ad, but it's not, it's just her voice, but it's other ladies in the ad. So, but when it comes on the TV, you hear Bonang.
Oh, okay.
So it's an endorsement. Yeah. So you can't separate the brand from the voice.
Yeah.
I think at this stage I've reached, you can't separate Mutale Mwanza's voice and brand. It's like it comes together.
Yeah.
So if you hear me on a voice ad, you know that it's an endorsement.
Mm.
And I usually, my team and I have crafted my rates in a way that if I have to endorse your product, you know, it's like it comes with certain things. So I'll do your radio ads and ABC and D and da, 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 da. So pay me 2 million rand and then I'll do all these things.
Mm.
So it comes as part of the package. So it's very difficult to separate. I also find that, you know, sometimes people really love you or people really hate you, right? So if you're
on either ends of the spectrum, you'll find them,
you will find a crowd. So you imagine me being a voice artist and I'm just doing the voice work without the endorsement. It's almost as if people listen to it and they're like, that's Mutale Mwanza. Ah, I'm not even going to buy this.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, it's Mutale Mwanza.
I am going to buy this.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think to answer your question mainly, I often get endorsements and that comes as part of the package to do the ads.
So here's another one.
Yeah.
If from all the activities that you do, the social media influencer things and all, 1 million people on Facebook, like who does that?
I know.
But anyway, but pie chart, right?
Yeah.
How big is the slice in terms of voiceover in your overall hustle?
Goodness, it could be... almost non-existent.
Really?
The last 2 years, I think so.
Oh, wow.
I don't make as much, no.
From voiceover?
Mm-mm.
I thought that would be like, you know, I thought you were going to be, you know, 40% at least.
I can't remember the last time I heard myself on an ad even. When last did I even record something?
Really?
I think now that I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, Honey TV maybe.
Yeah. Like the promos and stuff.
But those are promos, right? So it's
again,
it's endorsements, right?
Yeah,
because I'm the presenter on the show, so I'm doing the voice.
Oh, so that you do the narration in the thing.
Yes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, no.
But do you bill for that separately or is that just part of the package?
It's just happens.
Here's a story. There's a mutual friend. I don't know whether I should say Mainza's name. No, teasing.
Yeah, so what did Mainza do?
What did Mainza? Okay, I'll just, you know, to insulate myself from Mainza wrath, I'll say, it might not be Mainza. But there's somebody who, some time back, like maybe 20 years ago, was telling me a story that he did an ad which had like three characters. So he did all three because he's versatile like that. He's super talented. Oh, wow. So he records himself as one part of the conversation.
And then he records himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, he asks the question how was and your then day? He answers. No, oh, that's
day
was dope.
Like, and he did all that stuff and he crafted it and then he presented different? It. And then, it sounded different. Then he presented it to the client and the client says, this is good. So how much does this other guy want to be paid?
Did he invest for three people, but it's one? Oh my God, that is so dope.
That's how you do it.
Okay, Chelo, give me my Insta's number.
+260.
I want to learn.
No, right, it might not so be my Insta. If he's watching this, it might not be my Insta. Just for you know.
Okay, my Insta is not you, but I want your number. No, that is dope. That is dope.
But yeah. the other guy who, interestingly, he is huge on TikTok. It's a guy. He's a voiceover guy. He's, in the States. Stefan Johnson. If you check TikTok, I think he's got like 5 million people on TikTok, etc.
Yeah.
And somebody asked him recently, like, so are you doing social media full time? Because I mean, his content is always, you know. And then he says, no, I'm a full time voiceover artist. So that's what confuses me about these things, where in his mind, the way he's positioned himself, that pie chart for him, from the way he wants us to think, is like maybe 75%. But when I look at the content that he's pushing out and how much traction he gets with sponsors and so on, he might be like what you're saying, whereas maybe the voiceover element is
0.5.
Yeah, 0.5. Yeah. I don't know. And if he's watching, because now I'm like throwing names. If you're watching, Stefan.
You know what? Yeah. I think it has everything to do with location.
Yeah.
And like I said, the market in Zambia is quite small.
Yeah, comparatively,
so and I think there's a few people back home who are signed to agencies here. So you know that then you know that there's, you know, there's a gap somewhere. Gap.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not popping over
so
there.
So people are still coming back here to get signed so that they can get work for stuff that's in Zambia. So I think corporates as well are not as... Or maybe they... You know what? Mm. Let me not say corporates are not as open-minded or whatever. Let me just say they don't have a platform enough.
Okay.
Why don't you create one?
It's a lot of work.
I know, but you can do it.
If you notice all the things that I do, I keep away from the admin-heavy, commitment-heavy things.
Okay, so just keep buying equipment then.
Exactly. All right, now I know we've had limited time as we come to a close.
Yeah.
Even though now you're saying it's like, you know, a small percentage of what you do, the reality is that you have made a lot of money in your career from voiceover.
But can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Not to interrupt you, but the most money I ever made was when we did the voiceover together. It was like in 2020, what? The Click, Samsung, that thing we did.
Oh, that, not 2015,
no. No, 2013, 14. You know when we did those, the click.
Yes. It was for Universal. Not Universal.
It was Universal. Yes. Yeah. But Samsung, Universal Music. The Click, they were launching that app. Yes.
You know those guys.
What happened? Tell me what happened.
So you know how voiceover works, and if you're listening right now and if you don't know how voiceover works, there's a performance fee and there's a usage fee.
Yes.
So those guys who we did that voiceover for, you did the female voice, I did the male voice, they had a usage clause. And meaning that they were meant to use it for like, I think, a year.
Yes.
And if it was used after a year, then
we'd bill.
They
were supposed to pay again. Yeah. Yes.
So after a year, that thing, you know, they said, no, we're no longer doing that thing. And then I heard. And I followed up. I'm on the phone with Universal Music. It wasn't Universal Music. Now we're going to lose business. Putting people on blast.
Wait, did they pay you again?
No, they didn't. I've got an email thread where they claim that it was played accidentally or something.
That can't be true.
Hey, who knows?
I think that's the most money I ever made my whole life. Like the fattest
check. Was a good check.
It was a good check.
Yeah.
That was the fattest check I've ever received.
Yeah.
Everything else was like in smaller amounts.
I think your pay and my pay shut down that project. Like, oh, we got no more money. No more. Close out the project.
So everything else for me has been coming in. It's been coming in small doses over the years. So like decent amounts.
That thing there, which you're describing, that was the equivalent of radio imaging.
Mm.
Because if anyone is listening and you don't know what radio imaging is, that stuff like, you know.
You're listening to Chulu.
Yes.
Chulu
FM. Listening to Mutale Mwanza on, you know, and then the sound effects.
Yeah.
So that's what that Click thing was for a music platform for that particular brand. Yeah. What was my question now? Now you got us talking about this big money.
Your question.
I've forgotten. Let's wrap it up then. I remember now. Yeah. I was saying that you've done a lot of voiceover. You've made a lot of money, evidently. And
you. Chilo, how do you know I've made money?
We've just said.
That's what?
The click.
I said in 2014, it was our biggest check for The Voice. I did say I made money.
So that one plus all the other things in between, you know.
I mean, I'm going to ask you for money after this, you know, after the cameras go off, after the sound goes off. How do you know? Maybe I came to bank. No,
everybody watching this knows where the money is on this chair. You know, it's slanted on your side. But with that said, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who's flirting or toying with the idea of becoming a voiceover artist? And you can even expand it into the world that you're in right now. It doesn't necessarily have to stay with voiceover, but just advice for somebody on the come up.
I think stay consistent. Try and get signed to an agency. If not, depending on the region you are, I think you're probably to be more advantaged. I mean, if on the flip side of things, right, you are looking to invest in a business and you come from a country like Zambia, please invest in talent management, talent agencies, and you could just create a platform for somebody who's listening, who wants to become a voice artist. We don't have that in our country. Not that we don't have it completely. It's not loud enough. It's not there enough. And it's not specified enough.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know? And if you want to be a voice artist, I mean, practice makes perfect. Listen to different, you know, I think watch a lot of cartoons, first of all. Because, first of all, I think cartoons teach, they improve your vocab. Mm-hmm. Do you think so? Do you agree?
I watch cartoons. So what's your character? Like, if you were to do a cartoon voice now, what's your... Yeah, I'll put you on the spot. You started it.
Oh, let's see. I don't know.
Even that, that's dead.
Oh my goodness. It's like blank. Yeah. Mind freeze. Sorry. My assistant was just teasing me about one character, but that's not a cartoon. I think from Nickelodeon.
No, like, but I've heard you do an accent, not an accent, like a character thing. It was a video of you. I think you were in a car. And I can't remember.
Uh-huh. So we do a character. I can't remember, Chilu, but let's see. Okay, cool. Let me finish my point. Focus on, you know, improving your voice, your voice balance, you know, try different characters, different accents even.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, obviously watch podcasts like these, and you're a great person to look up to, obviously.
Oh, wow.
We all do. It's just that some of us haven't really like grasped the voice world as we should, because it's like, okay, if I'm getting paid for posts X amount of money now, this side is suffering. Yeah. So this side has been suffering because of the region.
Let's satisfy these 1 million people. Yeah.
But go to Facebook and befriend Chilu Lemba. Go to Instagram, follow him and see what he does. He's somebody great to look up to. And I think you could improve yourself the more you practice. Stand in front of the mirror and talk to yourself.
And Basila, on that, as we come to a close, Bevra, when you get that money pivoted and put it into property and stuff like that, like you're doing, because of the fact that it's, you know, you're insulating your life.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like somebody's going to come and take your spot? Like there's a new voice person, you know?
No.
I mean, obviously you've solidified your status in the industry, right? But do you ever feel like, somebody's coming?
No, and I've been befriending a lot of these young guys, when they're on the come up, I'm like, hey, come to the podcast. And then we have a chat, you know, because The pie is big, Tali. There's like so many other avenues. So not anymore. Back then, it was like, who's this other guy doing super sports stuff?
Right. You know what I mean?
I'm not even, you know, but...
No, in the
plus years
in
ago,
the,
man.
In the
I'm,
presenter
I'm
world,
it.
we feel like that.
Really?
Yeah. I gain 2 or 3 kilos. No,
that's why you need to spend more time in the public ear. We're done. This is the voice of a plug. Tali Mwanza,
thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
And that was the voiceover plug with Chilu Lemba. Catch Chilu on social media using the handle @ChiluLemba. And if you haven't checked out his memoir, Finding My Voice, get it as an audiobook on Audible and ebook or paperback on Amazon.